Hey y'all, it's Mance. How you doing today? Coming at you with a solo episode. I just have some things on my mind, and I think they all can point to a bigger issue that I constantly talk about, and I constantly try to make the center points of my arguments, especially on social media, especially on the podcast, especially when I go on other people's podcasts. So I want to talk about some of the stuff that we've seen in the news recently. I mean, most obviously this, Putin summit with, the Helsinki summit with Trump. Tom Woods said that I can't remember his exact words, so I'm going to paraphrase him. He said it was probably the greatest thing he ever saw a president do in his lifetime, because basically he knows he's going to be ridiculed all over the place for it, in the media, on social media, mainstream media, alternative media, but he didn't care. He decided he was going to do this. He thought that trying to establish some kind of dialogue and some peace with, you know, the second biggest nuclear power on the planet was more important than any allegations that people are making that they have no evidence for. What I guess I really want to talk about most about that is the backlash, everything from this is a strategic blunder and you're putting Putin, you're giving Putin, just like they said when he met with Kim Jong-un, you're giving him credibility and saying you're giving Putin credibility and he criticized the deep state, the CIA, the FBI, these unelected positions that no matter who's in power and no matter if there's a D or an R in front of the name, you know, they remain and they do what they do. And we know they're in bed with the military industrial complex. I had Daniel McAdams from the Ron Paul, the president of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity on, and he talked about how last time he was in DC, he noticed that Raytheon basically had their own neighborhood. It was like this private neighborhood, and it was just, you could just see the money. So, I mean, these people are in bed with the military industrial complex, and it doesn't matter who's in power. They get their money. They get their $800 billion a year for their war machine. And, you know, it looks like Trump is challenging the CIA, challenging the FBI on an international stage, saying he doesn't trust them. Like I said, you know, everything from, oh, he's legitimizing Putin and Putin's a monster, which he probably is. I mean, the guy's a former KGB agent. A lot of people in Russia and the Ukraine who, and other satellites who go up against him, bad things end up happening. And, you know, we know that after the Soviet Union fell, basically power and wealth went to 7 different oligarchs. There are plenty of articles online you can read about that. I'll try to link up a good one that I think I still have saved on my phone. But FDR met with Stalin. Churchill met with Stalin. And they formed an alliance to go up against the Nazis. And even before that, they were friendly, called them Uncle Joe. But, you know, these people who worship FDR forget about things like that, forget that Reagan, even for all the bellicose things he said about Gorbachev and Russian leaders, you know, he would meet with them and they would smile and have fun and take pictures together. And you can see those pictures online as well. So everything is from, oh, he's given Putin legitimacy to literally Donald Trump is a Russian agent. There are, like, everybody who's working in the White House right now that he's appointed is a Russian agent. Think about that. This is what people who actually get paid 6 figures and some of them 7, this is what they're putting out. This is them playing politics. And I emphasize the word playing because they're playing. These people know that none of this is true, yet they're trafficking it to a stupid, moronic, imbecilic public. Think about the people you know. Most of the people you know are idiots. They can't think for themselves. They have no opinion. They don't hold an opinion other than what somebody else has told them. Most of them are too busy taking their spawn to soccer games and all these things that I see in my business and in my business, you know, how I make my living. I hear all this stuff. I hear how busy they are, how they don't know anything, how if you even engage them a little bit, maybe one out of 20 people, you know, can tell you the president of Turkey, who, you know, is a NATO partner, and it's probably someone you should know considering he invaded Syria and went up against forces that were friendly with the United States, and he's a NATO partner. I mean, it's something you should know. You don't have to know the names of every Syrian Kurd leader, but you should know the name Erdogan. It seems important if you're going to talk about foreign policy, if you're going to make the argument that the United States should be in all these wars and they should be invading all these places, maybe you should have a little bit of education. Maybe you should know who the president of Afghanistan is. Maybe you should know who the prime minister of Israel is. Maybe you should know who's running Saudi. Maybe you should know that Saudi is waging a war against Yemen, and it's basically a proxy war, and the United States is completely back Saudi. Maybe you should know about the Yemeni Holocaust that's basically going on, the starvation, the cholera outbreak in the 21st century. Maybe these are some things that people should know if they're going to have an educated opinion about politics. We'll get back to that. Then you go to social media. And one thing that, I mean, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this is smart enough to know that social media is not the real world. I just described the real world to you. The real world is a bunch of people who've made their lives so busy with work and so busy with extracurricular activities that they have no fucking clue what's going on. So you can plant things in their ear that, as long as it's somewhere within their wheelhouse, somewhere within their worldview, if you know what their worldview is, if you know if they're right or left, or if they're hard right or hard left, you can plant stuff in them. But if you go on social media, like if you went on Twitter, and I have Twitter open on my phone right now, you would think the world is ending. You would think that Donald Trump is actually a Russian agent. You would think that every house in your neighborhood, there's a pedophile living in it. You would think that socialism has worked in so many different countries, that you would think that Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, that these were all socialist countries. So let me read you a couple things from social media today that just stuff that's out here. Someone saying, actually, the better definition of socialism. Socialism is an economic system where everyone in society equally owns the factors of production. Okay. I actually think that's pretty damn close. Explain to me how that's Sweden, Norway, Denmark, or Finland. Explain to me how that's a Scandinavian country. He goes on, or she, regulating a market with price caps so that necessities aren't overpriced does not fall into this definition. Basically, this person is talking about, right? This person is making the argument that in this society, luxuries are cheaper than necessities. And necessities to this person, they told me, a car is a necessity. My family, in the 18 years that I lived growing up with my family, we had a car maybe 3 years. In my first 18 years. A house as a necessity? Yeah, I mean, is it something that people should just be given if they're not going to work for it? You know, I mean, if somebody is truly disabled, especially mentally, I mean, I have no problem taking care of that person. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking today that these people, social justice warriors, there are people out there who are marginalized, but they're individuals. My problem with these social justice warriors is they see one or two people marginalized and they want to turn that whole group which could be 0.1% of the population, even less, into a group of victims that somehow you need to pass laws that always seem to, you know, speech law, you're not allowed to say this about these people, which they can always use to expand to other groups, which is what the state does. But if you come to me, I bring this up because I brought up, you know, somebody who's mentally handicapped and cannot take care of themselves, and I will chip in to take care, make sure that person is taken care of. Just, you gotta tell me who they are. But in these groups, you rarely ever have a whole group that's oppressed. Show me the one or two people that are oppressed and I will fight for them. If they have been wronged, if there is someone wronging them, I will defend them. I will fly somewhere to defend them. I will go out of my way to defend them. I will get as many people as possible. I'll ask you people, will you defend this person who is, you know, I already put out the, I just recorded this last night, but I haven't released it. It's an interview with Lynn Ulbricht, Ross Ulbricht's mom. And I asked on social media after that interview, I said, please go sign the petition. And a lot of people did. And, you know, when you hear that episode, I'm sure that a bunch of you are going to run, you know, click the link that I put down there on the show notes page, and you will sign that petition. Why? Because there is an individual out there that an injustice has been done to, and a horrible injustice. So if I tell you that there is somebody being abused because of who they are or who they choose to be, and they're not asking for special favors, they just want to live their lives, I know a bunch of you would come to their aid. I mean, think about how people, when somebody gets hurt and, you know, if they don't have medical insurance, how many people will do a GoFundMe? And, you know, I see this every week on, We Rate Dogs on Twitter. Every Friday they will pick a dog who, you know, this week it was a dog that has cancer, and they, you know, put out a thing that they needed to raise $5,000 for this dog. And when I clicked on the link to give my contribution, like I do every Friday, to whatever dog they put up there that needs help, it was $5,000, and I don't think they had raised $100 yet. So I put my little bit in, closed it, went back an hour later, it was already up, it was already at almost $5,000. So people come together. People are willing to help individuals. I don't think people are so willing to help groups because one or two people in those groups, I don't think people are willing to give up their rights in order to do it. So, you know, just going through, I mean, I can go down my Twitter timeline and just look at these people that are complete psychopaths. Okay, Bill Kristol, one of the most disgusting people that ever lived. I mean, never saw a war he didn't love. He tweets out this morning. This is Sunday, I think it's the 22nd. Reading Trump and some of his defenders this morning, I'm struck by how toxic a political landscape we now inhabit thanks to the infantilization of our political discourse, the demonization of opponents, the denigration of our institutions. He's talking about the CIA, the FBI. This is exactly who he's talking about. And an indifference to facts and truth. Now, I agree with Michael Malice. The whole, our political landscape becoming toxic, well, that gives me a hard on. Because the more everybody, you know, separates and has a different opinion, the better off it's going to be for us. Because, you know, I mean, I'm a collapsitarian, like I said on one episode. But I mean, I think we're going to have to go down to smaller groups because I don't want to be part of a group that Bill Kristol's in. I don't want to be a part of a group that this person who's touting socialism on Twitter is in. I don't want to be a part of a purple-haired wildebeest on a college campus who's screaming that I don't have the right to say that there should be free speech. So let me just go. Let me go through some more of this timeline and just give you some ideas. Okay, this is the actor Bradley Whitford. This is one of those guys who, if you saw him, you'd know him, but you don't know his name. He said, Retweet if you're willing to use your body to block Vladimir Putin from desecrating our White House at the request of this traitorous president. Now, this is a guy who, well, let me look, see how many followers he has on Twitter. He has 175,000 followers on Twitter. Shit, I know people who do makeup tutorials that have more than that. But, you know, he's got, this has been retweeted over 4,000, liked over 4,000 times, retweeted over 2,000 times. There are so many comments here about, you know, from people who are, I'm with you. You know, we should do, what are you going to do? I took a line, I retweeted this and I took a line from Michael Malice where I said, impotence signaling is much funnier than virtue signaling. And it's just, these people are insane and they're riling people up. I don't care about the president. I don't care what Trump. I mean, you guys know me. I don't give a shit. I'm no fan of Trump. I'm no fan of any president. But I will say when he does good things, and he did a good thing with that Helsinki summit. And let me find some more here because they're just some of these are just so beautiful. Oh, your typical people who make fun of you that. Don't have an argument whatsoever to make. People who are saying Ross Ulbricht hired assassins, which has been debunked so many times, but because there's a Wired article that's still online, and whenever you search Ross Ulbricht assassin, it's the first thing that comes up. It's like a promoted, and it gives you, oh, the transcripts of him doing this, even though it's a transcript of an admin, and we know there was more than one admin that had the Dread Pirate Roberts account, and we also know that a DEA agent who was undercover in the Silk Road and had access to admins, his name was Karl Mark Force. He was a DEA agent. He was the lead undercover agent in the case against Ulbricht, had high level access to administrative functions of the Silk Road, including the ability to manipulate logs, chats, private messages, posts, account information, and bank accounts. Yet Ross is in jail. This guy's in jail. This guy's evidence put Ross in jail. And this guy's in jail because he was dirty. And yet Ross is still in jail. How many times do you see? I mean, think about this. This is all building up to something. Okay. I'm not just talking out my ass here. I'm telling you all these things for a reason. And I'm sure a bunch of you who've listened to me know where I'm going with all this. So running through the Twitter timeline. Twitter is just so. It's just so beautiful, and you know the people on it are so smart. Yeah, I got a guy here who this guy's crypto. He's mainly just uses Twitter to stay up to date on crypto projects because you know crypto is so important to him. You think crypto people historically are very libertarianish. They want to smash the Federal Reserve. They want to subvert the state. And this guy is basically saying that his comments that Trump is colluding with Russia and he knows it for a fact. You ask him for evidence, he has nothing. And this guy's crypto Twitter. I've dealt with people online who their whole profile was just about crypto and how maniacal they are for crypto and it's the greatest thing that's going to save the world and they will clearly say that they're communists. And I'm just like, how the fuck are you a communist or a socialist and you're into crypto? What is your, how do you see it what do you see it doing? What are you trying to do with it? I don't get it, man. I don't get it, guys. So I'm going through all this stuff on my timeline. Here's one. I posted up a meme, Cody Wilson, and it had Cody holding the Liberator, the first gun that he made. And it says, TFW, that feeling when you've done more for gun rights than any politician ever. And here's another crypto person. Gun rights, weirdos. Yeah, because I want a society where everyone feels the need to own a fucking plastic gun. The fuck is wrong with you people? I came back with them just the best way that I know how. I don't want a society where everyone runs around with plastic guns. I want a society where everyone runs around with the best guns they possibly can. They already have 3D printers that can print metal. It's just a matter of time before they can do it with 7075 aluminum so you can make AR lowers, like real AR, mil-spec AR lowers, and steel so that you can, you know, make handgun lowers, you know, handgun receivers. And these are people online in the public who are promoting cryptocurrency and are talking about how there should be laws. Do you think these people may, and so many of these people are, I hate to say it, so many of these people are Bitcoin maximalists. You don't hear anyone in the Bitcoin Cash, in the Dash, in, you know, so many of the other coins that are being used as actual money, talking about how they want the government to get involved with certain things. This is what scares me most about Bitcoin, what you would call Bitcoin legacy, BTC, is there are so many people who've got so much on the line with it, especially people who've grown massive wealth, who I've seen online talk about how the government needs to come in and protect it. I don't think the government needs to come in and protect anything. Whenever the government gets involved, you lose liberty and you lose money. That is clear. People, I'll give you an example of somebody who asked the government for help and got all they could get. The black community in this country, when you saw that crime was increasing in the black community after the Civil Rights Act in the 60s, and drugs started flowing in. Now, I mean, who knows how the drugs came in? I know that some private individuals, like in New York, were able to do it. Maybe the CIA was doing it. Who knows? But when you started seeing crime go up in the black community, well, what did black leaders in those communities do? They went to the government and asked for help. Boom. The war on drugs was born. This is what happens. And we know that if you, you know, and that all, and the violence was there in the first place because drugs are illegal. You get rid of that mechanism. You get rid of prohibition. I mean, you can just look at the history of prohibition in the 20s. The amount of police officers that were shot or killed before prohibition started was minuscule. Prohibition starts. Next 10 years, that just starts to skyrocket because there is basically a war going on. They end prohibition. You see that number go right back down to where it was before, and it stayed that way for decades until, you guessed it, the war on drugs. So I guess I will wrap this up with where I'm going with all this. Everything that I've just talked to you about has one commonality. It's the state. The war on drugs couldn't be happening without a state. Drug prohibition couldn't happen without a state. All these people who are saying that, oh, Russia's doing this, doing that, firing up all these people. Well, what if these people get fired up thinking that the Russians have taken over the White House? What are they going to do? Some people, I mean, we saw it last year when that idiot went and shot up a softball game of some Republican, you know, of some Republican politicians. And we see what's happening. How do people not think that that's just going to get worse? This is all about statism. What did Larkin Rose say? He says, it's the most dangerous superstition. And statism is a religion. It is no different than any other religion. Let's bring this all the way back. Yeah, the state is the most dangerous superstition out there. It is a religion to most people. The state has been responsible for more deaths in history than religion. Now, a lot of those states had state-sponsored religion. Okay. But just what the states in every state I'm talking about, even the United States, was able to do in the 20th century should scare the shit out of you if you're paying attention. So all this stuff you're seeing, this Russiagate, this Trump and tariffs, this trade war, this imminent bubble that's going to pop, that us collapsitarians know is going to be horrible. It's all because of the state. Now, I know because I put out a couple podcasts ago and I said that contact me. I gave my email out and a bunch of people contacted me and I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And I know a lot of you said that you weren't even ANCAPs or anarchists or, you know, voluntarists, and you were still minarchists. And I'm with it, man. I understand. I understand. I was there once too. But even you minarchists know that the state's always the problem. And I'm sure every single one of you would want every state regulation taken away from business and taken away from the market. I'm sure every one of you would want to end the drug war tomorrow. I'm sure every one of you would want to legalize at least marijuana, which is what causes the most violence and the most pain in the society. That prohibition there. This is all about the state. All these people, these psychopaths that you see online, so many of them just want to use state power against you. All these gun control activists, none of them are willing to come and try and take your guns, but they very much want agents of the state, agents that I have explained in probably 20 of my 130 plus episodes are illegitimate, and they should not have rights that you and I don't have. But they want to arm them. They want to give them military. I mean, they already have military weapons. They want to give them anything they need to take your guns away. They want to give them anything they need to be able to shut you up. Why are they able to do that? Because there's a state that exists. Because the people have never in this country had power over the state. I've said this before and I've done a few podcasts on the Constitution. The only way the Constitution could protect your rights is if the government didn't have guns and we did. And that we stood outside when legislation was in session, when politicians were in session, and we had guns and we watched over them. Then they would actually be administrative and not governing. But that's not going to happen. I mean, you're better off. We'd be better off without a state. We'd be better off without them. We'd be better off breaking off into 1,000 city states like Michael Bolden always talks about from the 10th Amendment Center. Great man. So that's it. Just wanted to bring you all this stuff that I'm seeing around me, all this craziness, and all of it can be traced back to the fact that there's a state. I mean, international. I mean, think about it. You have two nuclear powers who people in this country want to go to war with each other. Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio both advocated for a no-fly zone over Syria, which would basically have been declaring war on Russia. These people want wars. And you think you can't live without a state? You think it would be more dangerous without a state? I think you should really rethink that. I think you should go back and look at some of my old podcasts, especially like the first 15. I was really laying down a foundation about authority, about the police, about what you can do. There's a podcast in there about guns, where I talk about my favorite guns and why we need to have guns. It's all about the state. Always will be until we get rid of it. Until people decide that they can live without it and they're willing to be their own police and they're willing to be their own governor. They're willing to be their own president. So that's it. If you listen to this on iTunes, please leave a review. I see how many people are actually listening on iTunes. I can go into that. And there are a fuck ton of you. And I think I only have 25 to 30 reviews. So go on iTunes and please leave a review. If that's possible on Stitcher, but I don't think it's possible on Stitcher, go do that. But the majority of people that I see that I can look and see what they're listening on, they're listening on iTunes. So please leave a review on iTunes. I don't think I've ever asked for people to leave reviews before, but please do that. And you guys know I wrote two books. They're available on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com, in the store section for cryptocurrency. And they're available on Amazon. And that's about it. I got a really interesting podcast that I'm doing, recording for somebody else this week, that I hope to be able to release in a couple weeks, that I think everybody would really enjoy, but I'm not going to talk about that until it's actually done. It's actually recorded. I've actually recorded it. And until I know that I have permission from the other people that are going to be involved, and some really big names involved in this podcast, that I have their permission to release it on my channel. So I look forward to that. And even if I don't, I'll make sure to come back and tell you about it in a podcast. So taking up enough of your time. I hope this was interesting to you. I think most of you guys are probably hit me up on Facebook or hit me up on Twitter. You know, let me know what you thought of this. Let me know what you thought of this podcast. And my email's mansrader14@gmail.com. Let me know about the things that I said in this podcast and if they made sense. All right. Take care, guys. I'll be back in a couple of days with another podcast. So have a good week.